the Lord's Supper here in just a few moments. You say, I'm unworthy to take the Lord's Supper. I got good news for you. Everybody in here is unworthy. Can I get a witness? Everybody in this place is unworthy to take the Lord's Supper. So what makes me worthy, preacher? The blood of Jesus Christ. It's not my body, it's not my blood that we'll be partaking of. It's His body. It's His blood that we'll be partaking of. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Luke 24. We're going to begin reading in verse number 45 this morning. And I want to just expound on this for just a moment. Understanding the Scripture. Understanding the Scripture this morning. Jesus, as Sister Molly has done said, went to the cross, went to the grave, and now He's arose. I thank God this morning that my Savior is not in a tomb, don't you? I thank God this morning that my Savior is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And this morning, as He came to His disciples, at the end of the book of Luke, I want to share understanding the Scripture. And I pray when you leave this morning that you understand what He went through. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word, Luke 24 and verse number 45. And the Bible says, Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, we beg and plead for that same power to fall in here this morning. Father, we beg and plead for the blood of Jesus Christ on this service. Father, this service is all about you, not about me or anybody else that's in here. Father, we've not come in here to worship nobody but Jesus this morning. We've come to uplift the name of Jesus Christ in a mighty way. And Father, I pray if they be one lost, that they get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, if there's one backslidden, that they get brought back to where they need to be. Lord, I pray this morning for the one that come in this morning, Father, just to say thank you. Father, I just come in this morning to say thank you that you died on that old rugged cross, that I may have life and I have it more abundantly. Bless these next few moments. Watch over the reading of your word. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. After Jesus arose from the grave, He came to this place and He opened the understanding of His disciples. For the next few moments, I pray that God would open our understanding this morning. As He come here to verse number 45, the Bible says, He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures that He would preach and that He would teach to them. As we come to verse 46, the Bible says, And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ. I want to stop right there and say we understand, number one, the suffering of Jesus Christ. And when we understand the suffering that He went through on that old rugged cross, I want you to know when He died on that old rugged cross, He died for every person that ever had been born and ever will be born. He died for past sin, present sin, and future sin. There is a word there that's called in that text that just gets all over me. It says, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ. To behoove Christ, it means that it was needful that He suffered. It was needful that He suffered on that old rugged cross. Friends, this morning I want you, there's not a person under the sound of my voice, we never will and we never can understand the suffering that He took on the old rugged cross. When He took that suffering and He bled and died, it was needful that He take it on the cross. There is not nobody else could have took that suffering, could have took that pain and could have took that anguish but Jesus Christ. It was needful for His suffering when He said, Thus it was written and thus it it behooved him. It was needful. It was required that he take that suffering on the old rugged cross. That suffering was on our behalf. It was for you and I this morning. The Bible says it behooved him. It was all over him when he went to the cross, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "Father, not my will, but thy will." He was talking as a Son of Man. Hey, but I tell you, when he went to Calvary's cross, he was as the Son of God. When he went there and he bled and died on that old rugged cross, no other way he could do that than the Father being with him as he went and he died on that cross. He didn't just take my sin. He just didn't take your sin. He took the whole world's sin. Hey, the vilest sinner that you know, he took their sin when he died on that old rugged cross, and it behooved him. That suffering at Calvary, I want you to know what it did. It bridged the gap between God and man. We had no hope, we had no peace, and we had no rest. If he wouldn't have went to that cross, every sin that's ever been committed, it had to be nailed to the old rugged cross in the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "It behooved me that I went to the cross." He said that it moved me. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Peter telling the story here. If anybody knows the story of Jesus, oh, Peter knew it. He knew that story. He knew how Jesus had bled and died on the old rugged cross. And as we come this morning, I don't want to add nothing to it, and I don't want to take nothing from it. Hey, but when we get here this morning, I want you to know, oh, Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18, you say, "Preacher, is it some other way that we might get to heaven?" There is no other way but the blood of Jesus. Amen. And he bled and died on an old rugged cross. He was put in a borrowed tomb. He was buried in there. And on that third miraculous day, he came forth in the power of God. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18. I love this. We're talking about to understand the suffering of Christ. He says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Hey, what you got will not deliver you. What you got will not redeem you. What you know won't redeem you. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, "Silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." That precious blood. This morning when he suffered on that cross and he bled on that cross, he bled for you and he bled for me on the old rugged cross. "But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." This morning we must understand the suffering that he did on the old rugged cross. Even though I can't imagine what he went through, I read the Bible and I understand what he went through. He went through it for me. Amen. Hey, but I see the second thing in the text in verse number 46. Not only do we understand the suffering of Jesus Christ, but we understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only will he want us to understand his suffering, but he wants us to understand his resurrection. If you're saved in here this morning, you ought to be joyful. That your old dead, no good, sorry body, woo, glory to God, is going to be resurrected one day. He said, "Preacher, don't talk to me that way. Do you know who I am? I know who you are. I know who I am. I'm a no good, filthy sinner. Without the blood of Jesus, Brother James, without that blood applied to my life, I'm of no good. I'm of no count. It is the blood of Jesus." "Preacher, you don't know what I'm worth. Without Jesus, you ain't worth nothing. With Jesus, you're worth it all." Hey, I heard a story. I told my wife and them this morning, and they said, "Make sure you tell it right. If not, it won't make a bit of sense." They were talking about how much you're worth this morning, and it was talking about the cross. When you look at the cross, it really shows you how sinful you are. When you look at his suffering, you look at him bleeding, and you look at him dying. Hey, we try to take care of these old bodies. Can I get a witness? Hey, we put on nice clothes. We put on good makeup, and we do the best we can. Some of us get real good haircuts. And then there's some like me and Brother Jackie. We just come to church. But it was told of an old farmer man and his wife. Neither one of them had ever been to town. All they'd ever done was worked out in the woods all they could. They worked there around their home, did everything they could. And they had never seen a mirror, didn't know what a mirror was, had no clue what a mirror was. Dr. Tony Evans said that they had no clue what a mirror was. They had no clue what was on their life. Said that old farmer finally got him some stuff and he was going to go to town and he was going to sell what he had. And as he went into town, he went in and he started selling and he walked by this place and there was little mirrors laying around, but he didn't know it was a mirror. And he picked that mirror up and he looked at it and he said, "Oh my goodness, my grandfather is in this mirror. My grandfather is in this mirror." He said, "Look how old my grandfather is. Look how wrinkled he is. That's my grandfather. That's him in that mirror." He took that mirror and put it in his pocket, and all the way home, he'd pull that old mirror out and he'd look at it. He'd imagine himself. He'd say, "Boy, I can't believe they got my grandfather on this piece of material here," not knowing it was a mirror. "I can't believe it." He got home, he was sitting in his rocking chair, and he kept looking at it. He couldn't believe that his grandfather was on that mirror. He couldn't believe that he was there. And his wife said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, it ain't nothing." And he stuck it in his pocket. She'd seen from time and time again, he'd take it out, look, and there's his granddaddy. He put it back in his pocket. She said, "What are you looking at?" He said, "Well, I'm not looking at nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing." That night he went to bed. We're talking about how we really are. How we really see ourselves, but we really don't see ourselves. "I really didn't know I was a sinner until I seen the Savior. I really didn't know I was wrapped up in sin, dead in trespasses and sin, going to a devil's hell until I seen the cross and his suffering, his bleeding and his dying on an old rugged cross. I really didn't know. I thought I was just as good as Hagin. I can clean up like Hagin. I can dress up like Hagin. Why'd I need Jesus? Because one day I really seen who I really was. I was a no good, filthy sinner in need of a righteous Savior." And said that night, he went to bed and she got digging in his pockets and said, "Surely he's been to town. What has he done got a hold of when he went to town? Who has he met at town?" And she reached down in that pocket when he was asleep and poured out that, not knowing it was a mirror, poured out that mirror. And she said, "I wonder who that old hag is." You see, it depends how you look at yourself. If you've never seen yourself at Calvary, you've never seen that it was you supposed to be on the cross. It was you supposed to bleed. It was you that was supposed to die. It was you that was supposed to bury. But Jesus came and gave us life and gave it to us more abundantly. You say, "Preacher, we serve a fair God." He ain't fair. Don't let no preacher ever tell you he's fair. Ain't nothing fair about God. If it's fair, we'd all go to hell. But he's just, and he said, "I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." I see this morning in the text, number one, I understand the suffering of Jesus Christ just a little bit. Number two, in verse 46, I understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ just a little bit. "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer." There's that suffering. "And to rise from the dead the third day." You said, "Preacher, what is the big deal? Why do you get hung up on the third day that he arose from the grave?" I'm glad you asked. Because I see that he defeated death, hell, and the grave. When he came back, the grave had no power, death had no power, and hell had no power. He defeated Satan when he arose again. If he'd have died on the cross and stayed in the tomb, we'd all be in trouble. Listen to me this morning. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless, did not sin. 33 years he hung on an old rugged cross. You say, "I get tired of hearing that." If you're saved, you fall in love with it. As somebody loves you enough to go hang on a cross and die for you, as sinful as I am, and die for me. Man, I'm telling you. And then on that third day, the power of God entered that body, and out of that grave he come. You say, what does that mean to me? My wife may lay me down one day right up here, and these boys may preach my funeral. But listen to me, that casket ain't going to hold me. Because that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, there's going to come a day it's going to raise me out of that tomb. It's going to raise me out of that grave. And I'm going to meet him in the air, and I'm going to receive my glorified body. I see he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's an overcomer. I see he defeated Satan. And I see he defeated sin on that third day. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation 1:18. Let me show you this in the Bible. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. We're getting on into the sermon. Going to get to the Lord's Supper and we're going to move on. Understand the suffering I understand the resurrection. I'm not who I used to be. I'm dead. I told Max last night, I said, son, you're not turning over a new leaf. That's what's wrong with a lot of old boys. They just turn over a new leaf. I'm going to try to do better. You can't do better. You ain't turn over a new leaf. You're dead. He died last night. He died last night. And there was a birth took place. Hamilton Hospital. Walked into a room and witnessed to a man who gave his life to Jesus. When I come out, the Spirit of God told me a couple weeks, months ago, a year ago, I can't remember. He said, make sure you tell them nurses what happened. I come out of that room, walked down through there, and got right there as that, went to push that button. He said, go back and tell them. I turned around and said, hey, y'all had a death in that room down there. What? I said, y'all had a death in that room down there, but don't worry about it. You just had a birth too. He looked at me and said, do what? I said, that man in that room down there, I ain't going to call his name because y'all know him. I said, that man in that room down there, he just died. Spiritually, he was dead in his trespasses and sin. That man's dead. He repented, but now he's born again. You just had a birth down there. They looked at me. I said, just go down there and see for yourself. Preacher, that's foolish talking. When it happened to you, that's how it happened to me. Dead, but resurrected. Look what he says in Revelation 1:18. I am he, not me, Jesus. I am he that liveth and was dead. He said, I'm alive. I was dead, but I'm alive. The resurrection means so much. And behold, that means you better listen to this if you don't listen to nothing else. When you see that word behold in the Bible, man, I'm telling you, it's like a school teacher getting on to you. Like she's been outside whooping somebody and come in and caught you. And you just, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. You almost think it's over with, ain't you? And then he throws that little gold nugget, Brother J.D., and said, by the way, and had the keys of hell and death. He said, I ain't only alive, but I got the keys of all that hell you're going through in your life. Listen to me this morning. Preacher, quit your cussing. I'm not cussing. There's some of you living in it right now, and you know you are. You know your life is a mess, and you're living in turmoil, you're living in hell, and you'd say, if I could just get out of this. If I could just get out of it, death ain't the answer. Death ain't going to get you out. What's going to get you out is life in Christ Jesus. Do you realize you can't handle your suffering and it takes a risen Savior to redeem you? And then he says, I have the key. That miserable life, now he has a key. And he unlocks that in your life and now you have a blessed life. Now you lay down at night with peace that passeth all understanding. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Let me give you the third thing in the text. I see how we understand the suffering of Jesus Christ. I see we understand the resurrection. But the third thing I see in this text, I understand the command that Jesus left us. Brother David said it a while ago when he was getting the baptistry about a command. Look what he says. Here's the command that we preach. What do we preach? Here's what we preach. That repentance... That's true repentance and remission of sins. He never said we preach remorse. Never once did he say preach remorse. You know how many people are sorry for what they've done just because they got caught up with? He said, don't you go preach remorse. Don't you go preach it just cause tears run down their face at heaven. Don't you preach that. He said, you go preach repentance. You know what repentance is? I'm not doing what I used to do. I've got a change of mind. I've got a change of mind. I used to do it this way. I used to live that. Nuh-uh. I've come to know Jesus. I've repented. And my sins has been remitted. They've been removed. I'm going a different way. Look what he says. He said, I want you to go preach. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. I see, number one, we must preach repentance. I see, number two, when you preach repentance, you have the promise from the Father. You have the promise from the Father that he'll be right here. Look at what the Bible says. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I'm going to send something on you. I don't know about you, but when he put it on me, he put something on me. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, my mama would tell me, I'm fixing to put something on you. Ajax won't take off. I can tell some, y'all know what I'm talking, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, Jesus didn't put Ajax on me, but let me tell you what he put on me. He put the blood of Jesus and he put the Holy Ghost. And he didn't put the Holy Ghost out here on me. He put the Holy Ghost inside of me, Brother J.D. And the Holy Ghost ain't an it. It's a he. And he is my best friend. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's way. And he showed me that suffering one day in my life. Man, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Unworthy, I had people tell me, if you wanted to quit, you quit. If you wanted to change, you change. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. I had to want to, and I didn't. I wanted to quit. I wanted to act right. I wanted to do right. I did. But see, there was somebody living inside of me, and it was me. And that old man hadn't been crucified yet in my life. Paul said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And all that I tried to do all them years, J.D., wanting to do better, wanting to do right, at a moment in time, when I heard the preaching of the Word, the promise of the Father came upon me, and the power endued me from on high. When I got on my knees before an almighty God and I repented of my sin, I didn't repent of my wife's sins, my children's, my mama, my daddy, mama. No, it's personal. We fix to take the Lord's Supper here in a minute, and how we do it around here is if you want to take it, you stand. And there's going to be people around here going to look. And guess what? It ain't none of your business who takes and don't take. That's pretty blunt, ain't it? But that's the way you do it. If you just tell it like it is, they'll understand it and they'll get a hold of it. See, preacher, why you do that, I'll never forget. And I'm going to stop right here. We was at a service similar to this. And me and my wife just didn't feel led at that moment to take the Lord's Supper. And me and her didn't take it. The only two in the church didn't take it. Son, you talking about a knot on a log. We was a knot on a log. We hadn't got home good, and they called wanting to know if our marriage was on the rocks. You know what I want to tell them? If that come to your mind, evidently yours is. Evidently that suffering's coming to your plate. Evidently that's something stirring deep down in your heart. Because that ain't nothing to do with what's going on in our life. You examine yourself. Preacher, who has the authority to take the Lord's Supper? Those that are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know everybody in here this morning. You don't know me. All you're going on is what I tell you, that I've met Jesus and I've been born again. But this morning we're going to take the Lord's Supper, and I want you to know this. We take His supper because of His suffering. We take His supper because of His resurrection. And we take His supper because He commands us. He commands us. This morning, I'm going to ask you right where you're at this morning, if you want to take the Lord's Supper, I ask you to stand. I ask my deacons to come forth.